Hi, I'm David, and welcome to the DataSource Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data visitors that little bit better. And today's guest is Hesham Issa, who's just recently won the Tableau IronViz Feeder competition, the third round, is that correct?
Yeah.
With his amazing viz on a global journey of refugees. And we're going to dive into that today and also get to know a little bit more about Hesham. But before we go on, welcome, Hesham. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me, David. So my name is Hesham. I work at the Information Lab. I'm part of the Data School as well. And I've been using Tableau for less than a year. And I work with Andy Kriebel. He's actually my coach.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's great. We just had him on the podcast on the last episode, and he spoke very highly of you. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you a lot more. And yeah, equally, I can see why he's spoken highly. Those vizzes, well, the viz you've made for IronViz, but also just looking at your Tableau public profile, there's so many amazing things in there. So hopefully, we get to look at a few of those too. So great. For those of you who are new to the format, essentially what we do is we first go through an amazing viz our guests have made, and we just kind of quickly figure out what the inspiration is, how they went about making it, and that kind of stuff. And in the second half, we get into like a rapid fire quick questions, just so we get to know about the creator as well, which is always valuable. Let's dive in. So I guess the first question is, for everyone who's listening to this, the links to everything we talk about will be below, but also I'll be exploring the viz whilst Hesham talks about it. So if you're on the YouTube thing, if you're on the YouTube video, go check it out, and that's where I'll be looking at it and interacting with it. So yeah, Hesham, this is an amazing viz. So what was the inspiration for this data viz?
So this viz was actually for the IronViz feeder, the last one, and the topic was migration. And the data set provided by Tableau was about the resettlement in the US. After doing a bit of research, I found that there's a huge databases and tons of data sets out there about refugees, where they start from, where they seek asylum, and where do they resettle eventually. That's when I decided to kind of do the viz, do the whole journey of the refugees, especially after finding out that most of refugees come only from 10 countries.
Oh, wow. We can see that in the data. I have to claim ignorance. I didn't know that. So this viz is off to a good start, like making us aware of this stuff. Wow. And then you're saying only 57% of those refugees come from three countries.
Yeah.
Wow.
So basically, it was kind of 84% come from 10 countries.
Yep.
Where 57% come only from three countries.
Oh, wow.
And that was really driven by what happened in Syria.
Definitely. That's really powerful. I had no idea it was that concentrated. Wow. This is amazing. The insight, not the cause of it. This is really cool. So you took the initiative to kind of enhance the data. Is that what you're saying? You felt there was a bigger, better story out there?
I found that mainly almost all the refugees come from 10 countries, and that's where I wanted to kind of focus on these 10 countries to kind of drill down and see what happened, what they go through. But after reading out a lot, I found it's going to be more kind of impactful if I focus on then 10 countries, because that's where mainly refugees came from.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's really awesome. And I'm looking at the journey here on the second piece where, you're talking about over the last decade, where did they come from? And I'm loving I guess you would call this a Sankey diagram, but it's kind of like mixed in with a map as well, which is really impressive. It's a good hybrid.
Yeah, actually the inspiration, so I wanted to do a bump chart to see kind of how the ranking of countries changed over time. But then I don't want to do just normal bump charts, because it's kind of just did it a few times before. And thanks to Kevin Froelich for providing the template for the KV bump chart.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, I didn't know what to do for a couple of days. And then there was a visualization stuck in my mind for like Few Months by Alex Valamov. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Mm-hmm. He did it for Makeover Monday project for Freedom of Press. And he was kind of doing the same thing, or he did the same thing, but he was doing it kind of vertically. But his is just incredible. And that's actually where the initial inspiration of the map connected to a bump chart came from.
That's amazing.
I think he did his all in one kind of chart, the locations of on the maps connected to the bump chart all in one. Mine is kind of three sheets. Actually, the map is a sheet. The lines from the map to the bump chart is a sheet, and the bump chart is actually from Kevin Froelich. It was kind of three kind of sheets connected to each other.
But no, that's fine. And I guess that's great. You're leveraging the transparent background functionality, because this wouldn't be possible without it. So that's cool to hear. And it's also cool to hear, you've been inspired by someone from the community, but you've also, leveraged a great resource shared by someone else from the community. Yeah, Kev's bump chart stuff is really cool. I'm glad he because I always find it hard to wrap my head around this stuff, but it's great that he's showing the love, showing the knowledge. And if it leads to amazing visits like yourself, your one being created, that's awesome. Yeah. It's great to see.
Yeah. It's him and his brother as well. They're doing just incredible templates. The Sankey chart in the bottom of my visualizations from Ken as well. And they made it so easy for them. Even if I know how to do a bump chart, but why would I kind of spend all this time creating it when they kind of made it so easy for me? They helped a lot creating these kind of charts so easy.
Kev and Ken are great. They've been previous guests on the podcast, and I'm amazed at how much they give back to the community. It's really inspiring. So Well, I guess the cool thing is you'll get to thank them in person, because I guess you'll be going to the Tableau conference this year because you won this Viz we're looking at now. Yeah, won you the Iron Viz Feeder competition. So, if I'm correct, you'll actually be up on stage for the Iron Viz final this year in Vegas. Wow, that's exciting. I'll be up on stage
with Lindsay Poulter and Joshua Smith.
Wow, that's going to be some tough but good competition. Are you excited for that, or a bit nervous, bit of both?
Very excited and more nervous. But it's an honor. It's an honor to be there on stage, sharing the stage with those people. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, no, it's going to be a memorable experience. I'll be there, sitting there, I'll root for all of you. Yeah, but that's going to be good. I can't wait to see what you guys make. It looks like quite an experience, being on the other side of it, speaking to a few other people who have participated. So, good luck, man. I'm sure this is the quality of your work. I'm sure you'll be fine. So, this is great stuff. And it's really cool to see that, you took a great data set and then just saw there was a better story or a more broader story. So you just went with it. So that's cool inspiration. I really like that, because a lot of people, they'll just take the data they're given at face value. But having that more probing, questioning, what's the real big story here? That's great to see that you're digging around for that. So nice. So the next question is around your data collection. So you said, yes, there's the main stuff given by Tableau, but then you enhanced it with quite a few other data sources. Was it easy to find, or did you have to do a lot of work, or was it pretty accessible?
I think it was pretty accessible. There are tons of data sets out there, especially from the UN Refugees Agency. Mm-hmm. And actually, for this visualization, I used 7 or 8 data sources. Wow. And that was the first time for me to kind of deal with this so many data sources at the same time. It was kind of as well, it's kind of so many insights everywhere. I had to kind of jot down what I have, what insights I can get from each data source, so I can just keep myself on track. But I think, there are so many data sets out there, the database out there that you can query data for each country of interest as well. it's not just data set for all countries. You can just query, for example, data for Syria. You can get out the data set off.
Wow, nice. Okay, so but that's great to hear that this kind of data is out there, and you know, it's just in its raw format. But again, people like yourself can just bring it to life, make it accessible to thousands of people. That's again, cool to see from not only the DataViz community but also like Tableau Public. So that's great to see that you're doing that kind of stuff. Because I often find a lot of organizations, they're like, "Yep, we got the data," but people don't really know what to do with it, or they kind of poke it a bit and they kind of just get bored. Yeah. But you've made it really engaging and told an awesome story with us. So this is cool. And anyone who's listening or watching, I highly encourage you to go through it, because I'm not going to do it justice just scrolling through on the screen today. It's there's a lot of thought and consideration. There's so many insights in this data. So I highly encourage you to go check it out. So with this, how did you go about approaching it? Because it is quite long, but there's definitely, I can feel there's a lot of consideration behind it. So how did you go about that? Did you find all the insights first, or did you just kind of sketch out what you wanted to tell? I'm really curious to see how you went about making this big biz.
So, I don't usually sketch. Maybe I sketch out my ideas if I know what exactly I want to do. But for this biz, I wasn't sure exactly what will happen. But what really helped me is that after reading out, like as I told you, I went to the UN Refugees Agency to get some data. They kind of release a yearly annual report of what usually, like what basically happened in the world, the refugees increased or not, like what usually happens if there was main incidents out there. And we kind of lay out, because it's kind of process people go through, something happens, war, or you get, I don't know, attacked by whoever, and then it kind of originates from somewhere. So that's what was kind of my initial step, that I want to show the countries where people kind of flee from. But then came up the visualization by Alex, and that's when I decided I want to kind of visualize it in a map to kind of add a spatial context. It's not just a ranking with countries' names on there, because many people don't know where are those countries, where is Palestine, where is Afghanistan, for example. It was kind of interesting, actually, is that Colombia was one of the top 10 in 2019, but they're not anymore one of those top 10.
Right.
Yeah, and then, but given that, it's just rankings is not adding some deep analysis of what actually the actual numbers, so I wanted to add this spatial context and the ranking, also kind of those slope charts where people can find, figure out the actual numbers and the actual percentages and how much they make out of the whole world.
Mm.
But then,
yeah. You can totally see that, because like with your slope chart, like, yeah, you can suddenly see the huge increase in from the Middle East, mainly from Syria. I mean, overall Asia's relatively flat, but it's still not a great, you know, they should all be going down. But yeah, we can see that. Yeah, you're right. Whereas a ranking just would give no context. So yeah. It's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's just the map with the bump chart is kind of making giving a spatial context with an overall view of what usually happened. You can see that Syria increased a lot, but doesn't give the actual insight, the actual number. So that's why I kind of added this last bit in chapter one. But then I was planning to go straight away into the settlement section, but then in real life, actually people go and seek asylum first. So that's why I kind of wanted to include that chapter within my visualization. But then actually while going through the annual reports, I found out a lot that usually in the annual reports, the people, they put the quotes, what happened. And I was really inspired by that. And that's why I wanted to kind of include it in my visualization, to kind of add some kind of, to hear these voices, because so many people don't hear these voices and they don't know what they actually go through to reach that point where they resettle.
And it's really interesting to see, like, the way you've broken it out to have, like, It's great story structure. Like, where did they come from? Where did they first go? And then where did they end up? It's, yeah, and I guess it's great that you've processed a lot of qualitative information too, to kind of understand this, which is great. They're not just, people aren't just numbers. You've actually taken the effort to really understand them and get more context. That's a really cool approach too, that, yeah, you've actually gone deeper and read qualitative data as well. Cool. No, that's really amazing. There's so much data you had to process, both qualitatively and quantitatively. It's, and I love the way you've structured it. You know, it's like a start, middle and end of the journey for these refugees. And yeah, the way you've dedicated a lot of text as well, but not too much, but enough that, you know, if people want to keep knowing a bit more, get a bit more depth, they can. So yeah, I love the way you've given all this information without overloading people too. You've kind of really spaced it out. Whereas, yeah, some people might be forced to like fill every blank bit of space with just information. But I like that you've resisted that and paced it out. So, no, very cool. Very cool. Okay, so the next question, I guess we've kind of heard a few insights from you already, which is great. Just goes to show how good the viz is. It just kind of, insights just pour out of it as you look at it. But what were the best insights you have found whilst going through this?
I think there's a lot of insights in this visualization as soon as you start from the top. But I think the main, the most important one, or the one that I didn't know, well, I didn't know many things about refugees, is that if you scroll down to the last bit before the quote,
Yes.
And saying that, yeah, even though there have been 92,000 resettlement in 2018, there's still 1.4 refugees in need for resettlement, and those refugees are headed into camps, and they're waiting for some people to hear their voice.
Oh, wow!
And it's that the most wealthy countries in the world are not sharing the same burden of responsibility, and that most of the refugees are being hosted in the poorest countries in the world. That was really striking.
Oh, wow. Yes. And I can see some extra insights here where, because I used to live in Australia, where I'm a citizen too now, for about 7 years. And yeah, the refugee program has always been in the news, and it never sounds too fair. Even if they take in 12,000 people, yeah, there's still 1.4 million knocking around. And I can see that other insight you've done where Trump comes in and the amount of, I guess, refugees is just, it's like shot down by, oh my God, like more than 2/3, 70%. Crikey. That's not good. That's horrendous. But again, like, you're bringing this to light. Again, you hear like, oh, it's okay, it's a little bit bad, but to see it being confronted with these kind of stats, that's not good. But then on the flip side, at least it's positive with, well, relatively positive with the other insight I'm seeing from your great viz with Justin Trudeau. When he got into office, I guess it went up. But the insight you've made, the biggest point is that's not even touching the sides. Yeah, like overall, wait, am I reading this right? Yeah, 92,000 settled, but there's still 1.4 million.
Because of Trump's ban, you can see that Syria, the top of the heat map below the US, they actually disappeared. Before Trump came, they took, I would say, in 2016, the heat map, if you hover over, and took 12,500 Syrian refugees. But in 2018, they took only 62 refugees. 62 refugees.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, wow.
The other heat as well is kind of being dimmed as soon as we get closer to when Trump took office.
Yeah. Because same with like Myanmar, it's like red, taking them in, and then just wow. Well, no, this is cool. I'm going to have to pour over this more. But again, this is a really powerful insight, and I love that you've brought this to life in this way. And it's not just, yes, you've got that high level figure, which is great, but you've also shown the trends over time in a very clear way. This is really cool. I'm definitely going to have to spend even more time looking over this now. Thank you. Here's a different question. So when you were building this, did you learn any new skills?
Yeah, a lot actually. So that was my first time to use text as images and made in PowerPoint. And the idea actually was from Kevin Frelich. They usually use text as images from PowerPoint to use custom fonts. The Tableau Public won't allow you to use, doesn't support all fonts on the web, for whatever reason it is. Yeah.
I was wondering how you did that. That's really clever. Cause I was like, yeah, this your text game is just a little bit better. And I was just wondering how you did it, but, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's just images, but that's cool. Yeah. Wow.
And, a couple of things, the map, the lines coming out of the map, that was maybe done using Alchix. Haven't done this before. That was very useful. I haven't done path through the map before as well, since they released the new features. And I learned a lot as well about refugees. There's so many things I didn't know before.
Yeah. I guess that's a cool benefit. Of this, it just brings heightened awareness. Because I guess if you to present the insights, you have to kind of understand the subject matter a little bit, or a lot. So no, it's kind of a good, I guess, side benefit, which it definitely makes me kind of confronts me with my lack of knowledge on this. So I feel I need to up my game. Which is kind of good because I think a lot of people it's easy just to hide behind ignorance. But if you're making the information come so clearly to them. They've got no excuse. This is great to see you've learned a lot too. I think that's one of the things we see when people see these great visits. The person who built them has also benefited a lot too by just like learning a ton of new things or combining what they've known into different combinations to get great results. And I think it's also good to hear for just regular Tableau users. Sometimes they see visits like this and go, oh, never going to be able to do this. It's too hard. They just think of it immediately. But I guess that's not the case, right? And it's always a continuous journey.
When I started looking at the data, I found it too much for me to kind of process. And it's just kind of so many steps that the refugees go through within the journey. Where they originate, the asylum seeking, the settlement, if they get returned or not. But actually, when you get in the viz mode and then just be with yourself and the viz and the topic, you just can't stop. I actually miss doing it. Yeah, I really miss doing it. Yeah, I feel like I'm not busy anymore since I finished doing it. But yeah, it's kind of a great journey. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's cool. It's good. I guess good to see that payoff for that time investment too. I mean, not only did you win the Iron Viz, but yeah, you've got these new ways to solve problems or make vizzes with other challenges you get in the future. Maybe we'll see you deploy some of these at the Iron Viz contest. Great. What project is next for you? Are you just going to brush up for the competition or have you got more things in mind?
My next project is going on stage. I don't know. I have like a long list of projects I want to do, but actually now I'm kind of having a break before the main competition.
Yeah, that's understandable. You want to, just focus on that. I like that dedication. But I guess that's cool. So I guess we're seeing it come up on the screen and it'll be in the show notes. But if you want to follow Hesham's work, you can now follow people on Tableau Public. So I highly encourage you to go to his Tableau Public profile and give him a follow because I'm very confident there'll be even more cool stuff coming out from that account in the future. So that's cool, man. No, that's good. Laser focus. I like it. great. Before we move on to getting to know a little bit more about you, is there anything else you'd like to promote?
There's actually a couple of things I would like to promote. So in case someone wants to donate at some point and they don't know where to do that or who needs it, the UN Refugees Agency are really in need of donations to kind of provide people who are living in the borders in tents with clothes or new tents or even to kind of secure some resettlements for them. So if someone is kind of wondering where to donate, these people really need it. And I didn't know that before. I just knew that while kind of doing my biz.
Wow. But yeah, that's good. We'll put that. I'll put that right at the top. I think that's let's get some more donations in. I'll chip in too. I just got paid, so I'll make sure I contribute to that.
And also, I would like to promote Operation Fistula, who are on a mission to kind of end the obstetric labor. An obstetric fistula is basically a childbirth injury that results from a prolonged obstructed labor. And even though there has been many surgeries now, there's still over 1 million women in South Africa and South Asia are really still suffering from it. So actually, they are quite active in the community and they use Tablo and Ultrix as well. I would encourage people to kind of connect with them and follow them on Tablo Public. And if someone is going to the Tablo conference, they can reach out to them as well. They will be there.
Oh, they'll be at the conference. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And we'll make sure there's a link to that too. I guess that's there's always other issues which result around from a lot of this refugee stuff. So that's a very noble cause to promote. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to move into the rapid fire questions so we get to know Hesham a little bit more. Because I always feel, there's the people behind the Viz are just as interesting as the Viz themselves. And we'll always start off with an easy one, but I think I might change this question moving forward because we get a similar response. But pie charts, Hesham, do you love them or loathe them?
I can't say that I hate them. To be honest, I don't like the way they look. They might serve a purpose, which I don't know what it could be, but they might serve a purpose. You never know. But I would say if I really want to use one or I have to use one, I would use a donut chart instead. So I can at least use the empty space in the middle of the circle to kind of highlight a number or add some text or add something.
That makes sense. That's good. Yeah, I think that's a common thing we have. Like, they're useful in certain circumstances, but there just aren't that many of them. But I do like the donut chart because I think, putting a number in can just give a little bit more context. Because when you see like, 50% is made up of this thing, it'd be great to know how big that 50% is. Is it off 100, a million? So that's a smart idea. I like that. Okay. No one's categorically said they hate pie charts and have never used them, which I think is good. I think a good workman should use all the tools and not like blindly ignore certain ones out of principle. So it's good to hear you're on that same page too. Cool. Great. Who or what publications for DataViz do you follow regularly? Sounds like the Fleurlage brothers are...
Actually, being on Twitter allows you to kind of be aware of what's going on. If even people that you don't follow or you don't even know they exist, you can see their work because everyone in the community kind of retweets someone's work if they're good, if they're providing something new. If you ask me about something specific, I would say like I like Andy Zalone's Tablo Tip Tuesday. I always kind of wait for it. It's kind of a quick tip and they always provide a video for it as well. Ryan Sleeper's Playfair newsletter are so good as well. Kevin and Ken, of course. And but being on Twitter, I think, allows you to kind of always stay on track with everyone.
No, that's perfect. And I think that's what I've noticed too about the Tablo or just DataViz community. Twitter's the place to be. And I guess if people start following you, and I think your Twitter's up on the screen, they to see who you're chatting to or engaging with, they follow them, can follow more. And I guess before people will know it, they'll just get plugged into the DataViz community. But I think it goes to the testament too of how everyone's willing to share stuff. They're not just posting to show off, they're posting to share or contribute or brainstorm. So that's cool to hear that you're engaging with that too. And it's just everyone benefits from that, which is great. Nice. Cool. No, okay. So I think I already followed those. So but if anyone hasn't who's listening, definitely go follow all those and we'll put links to those too down below. Oh, okay. So this is always an interesting question. What is your number one Tableau trick for people who are just starting off with Tableau?
Number one trick. I would say, sometimes I kind of struggle with going through all the sheets at the end of my dashboard and kind of remove all the borders from each sheet, keep on clicking on each border to kind of remove each border, that they can just format one sheet, kind of duplicate it. And then if they want to add new sheet, they can duplicate it and then they can clear out the sheet and then they can start with a new sheet, but with the same formatting as the old one.
I see. Yeah. So find the formatting you like and then just duplicate it out from that rather than at the end. Okay, I like that. Yeah, because it's smart. Like you do 10 actions to change it rather than 10 times however many tabs you need to change later. Okay, cool. So what is your favorite chart type? Or do you have one? Yeah.
I think the favorite chart type for me is the one that fits the data. Depends on what I want to show. Always depends on the case. But I'm always into kind of anything that's circular. So I like scatter plots because they kind of allow you to kind of see two dimensions easily. And you can add another dimension. You can add size, for example. That's the third dimension. You can add color, fourth dimension. You can add some text for another dimension. You can add a lot of things. You can dual axis it. You can have like seven dimensions. And you can do this with other charts, but with scatter plot, it's kind of looks more clean, more easy to kind of understand. Mm. Unfortunately, you cannot always use scatter plots. It depends, I think.
Yeah, but no, that's fair enough. There's, again, like you said, right tool for the job. But yeah, I guess if you can use a scatter, that's good. Because I do like them too. If you give the user like a... Hopefully they can understand it straight away, or if you just nudge them a bit, like everything in the top right quadrant is good, everything in the bottom left is bad. You kind of give them this kind of like set of rules to understand all these complex data points. Whereas if you just show them like 1,000 dots or 100 dots and they're like, what am I looking at? It's you're empowering them to kind of help discover, like figure it out. So, okay, that's cool. Okay. Now, I think a few other people have said bubble or scatter. So it seems, I think that's like the front runner right now. So you're definitely in a good space with everyone else. So, so you mentioned Alteryx. So other than Tableau, what other tools do you use when you're doing your data visits like Alteryx?
Alteryx, Tableau Prep. Sometimes I'm more fast on Alteryx. For the past 5 months, I have been using both. Almost every day, just mainly Tableau and Alteryx.
Cool. Okay, so it's more to kind of wrangle the data. So you kind of trust Tableau to make it look good and be interactive, but you're using Prep and Alteryx to kind of get the data in the right way. Okay, and and you mentioned PowerPoint as well, right? Just to kind of get some of the images.
Cool. Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of given. PowerPoint's kind of a given.
I like that though. It's a good hack. I think it's one probably a lot of people aren't aware of. But yeah, if you want a bit more control over your text or build some kind of simple isometric shapes, then it's great to do. Yeah. Save as and then whack them into Tableau. Yeah. I definitely need to do a bit more of that. I guess I'm a Photoshop guy, but I think doing it more simply would probably be better. It'd save more time, I think. So, great. Okay. So, what was your first version of Tableau? Like, when did you start using it?
2018.3. That's kind of new. Wow. That's when they introduced set actions, density marks, I think, and some navigation buttons and actions. I didn't experience the dark generation of not like generation like dark period of no LEDs or something.
Those were dark days. Wow, wait, so hang on, I'm just going to bring up your public page. So you're telling me so in the last year and a half you've made all these incredible data visits, like, because I look through all of them and they're all like fascinating and really interesting. Like, That's incredible.
Yeah, I started, so I knew about Tableau last year in October or November, something like this. But then just I had some kind of family news, so I had to go back home and wait a few months, but then started using it properly this year in January or February. That's when I started using it properly and then started applying to the data school. But yeah.
Crikey, that's so incredible. That's so inspiring. Like, you've only been using it for, what, nine, 10 months? And here you are, like, building all these amazing, like, complex but beautifully designed dashboards. That's really inspiring. I love it. Yeah, so speaking of the data school, we had Andy Kriebel on the podcast last episode, and he actually spoke of you specifically and very highly of you, about your inspiring journey or how you actually got into that and kind of passed it. So I was wondering if you wanted to give us your perspective on getting into the data school.
So when I knew about Tableau in October, November, I applied to the data school, and then I was invited for an interview in January. But by that time, I didn't prepare that much to get into the data school, which is something I'm not proud of. But then when I applied, and when I went to the final interview, they mentioned that I have to kind of work and kind of give it another go to kind of improve. And then they want to see me, what I would come up with. And that's when I decided to kind of dig deeper into Tableau. And that's actually when I decided to be out there more in the community and kind of interact with people. And that's actually when Kevin Flerlich reached out to me. And then he's the first thing he said to me, "Hey man, you're doing a great job. Keep it up." That was actually very important to me. This is one of my best moments in Tableau, to be honest with you. Because he's going to reach out to me in kind of hard times to me. Because I hate some news about family back home. That's actually a couple of weeks after, that's when Kevin Frelich kind of reached out to me, and this is what's kind of, that's what that was very important to me. So yeah, I did that, Kevin. But then I kind of worked on it, joined Makeover Monday, was there every week, joining Makeover Monday, joining the webinar to get feedback, kind of working on the feedback. And then that's when I did my doctoral school, just Viz. Then I went to the data school with it, and Andy was so inspired, and everyone was so happy with it. And that's actually when I got into the data school. I joined, my first day was on the 1st of April, kind of something like this. First week of April. Nice. But yeah, since that day, I've been using Tableau every day. It's a great journey.
That's incredible. Like, I'm loving it. Like, just... That's such an inspiring story. Like, you know, you had a taste for it. You kind of went for it. You took on that feedback, and then you doubled down. With also support from the community and those inspiring voices. That's, I love it. And to see what you're making now because of that, like because of your hard work and your conviction to like apply yourself, engage with the community, and just learn by doing is. It's so awesome. And I think that's a key message for anyone listening or watching. Anyone can do this. Like, you just have to kind of have that good mindset like Hesham and just keep applying yourself. No one wakes up like a genius making this stuff. It comes through, you know, testing, working, building, and just continuously improving. So I love that story. I can see why Andy brought it up, and thank you for sharing that in your perspective too. And it's
I think that like if someone truly loves something, they're gonna find a way to excel in it. For example, in my own visualization, I have actually seven versions of workbooks. Every time I have a version, kind of ask people for feedback. They give me kind of feedback. I start another version. Just people be out there. The community is great, very supportive. There's so many kind of blog posts on how to do anything. If someone just type how to do blah 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 and Tableau, they're gonna find tons of blog posts. So just people kind of pick where they are comfortable with, and just be out there. The community is very supportive. So
yeah,
kind of
it's one of the, I mean, apart from the product itself, it's one of the best features of Tableau, the community. It's which is great. And no, I love it, man. So going from starting to being on the stage at IronViz in the same year, that's I don't know anyone else who's actually can claim credit to doing that. So amazing work, really. Yeah, very impressive.
Appreciate it, David. Thank you.
That's cool. It's amazing. Okay, so yes, oh, I guess you're kind of, yeah, you haven't gone through the dark days of Tableau, but equally you still use it loads. So is there any feature you feel is lacking which you may like to see?
I'm going to give you two. Okay. One is I would love to kind of create my custom shortcuts. So Tableau has shortcuts, but then I would like to kind of create my own shortcuts with the ones that I'm comfortable with. The other one is would go to formatting. I think I would love to kind of select multiple containers in a dashboard and kind of move them around if they are floating, of course. That's going to save a lot instead of doing the same process again and again.
One at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we have actually like some kind of extra fonts, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're all great features. I would love to see those too. If they're not in the Tableau feature request, I guess, voting thing, we should totally put those in. Let the community upvote them. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. No, I love that. Great suggestions. Okay. So we've actually, we've reached the end of the questions. So before we go on and wrap things up, Hesham, do you have anything else you'd like to share or talk to the audience about before we finish?
I want to thank you for having me, David. I appreciate that. I was so happy when you reached out to me to kind of do the podcast with you. And I want to thank everyone from the Data School and the Information Lab. I wouldn't be there without them. I want to thank everyone from the community as well for the support. They're just great people. And specifically, I would love to kind of thank Kevin and Sarah Bartlett for their just continuous support since the beginning. They deserve all the best.
No, that's amazing. They're very lovely words. And I'm sure they'll appreciate that when they see this. This is really cool. I loved having you on as a guest. I've learned so much. It's inspired me even more. Every time I speak to a guest, I'm just like, oh my God, like I feel I get like imposter syndrome. But this is cool. It's a testament to your great stuff. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for being so generous with your time and letting people understand like how you made this and like what inspires you and your journey. And that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes below for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. Also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till the next time, thanks for watching and thank you, Hesham.
Thank you, David.